I'm going to read Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel. Truly God is good to his people. To such as are of a pure heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there is no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not troubled as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride served as their necklace. Violence covered them like a garment. Their eyes bulged with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouths against the heaven. Their tongues walk through the earth. Therefore, his people return here. Water of a full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know? And is there any knowledge in the Most High? Behold, they are the ungodly, who are always at ease. Their increase in riches, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it is too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in a slippery slope. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. And as a dream when one wakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before them. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by your right hand, and you will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all of those who deserted you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God, and I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all of your works. A psalm is a poem. It's a Psalm 73. It's what we call a poem. Some are set to music, some aren't. And he's making an illustration of what it was that he looked at and saw the wicked. And he said, look at them. Look at all the stuff they've got. They don't have a care in the world. They have as much as they possibly can have. They speak all kinds of things. They blaspheme God. They oppress the poor. And nothing happens to them. They even say, where's God? Where's God? I don't have anything to worry about. I can do what I want. And he says, I despaired. I looked at it and I said, what am I doing with my life? I'm chaste. I'm doing what's right. I'm trying to behave rightly. And I'm dealing with all of this. I have to deal with all this stuff and I suffer. And I chasten myself and I go without. And here they have everything and nothing happens to them. And I'm suffering all the time. Well, how is this even fair? He says, but then I went into the sanctuary of God. I went into the dwelling place of God. I went where God's presence was, and I felt the presence of God. I sensed the presence of God. I acknowledged the presence of God. And I said, now I understand. They are without God. They have no hope. They have nothing to fall back on. No one to trust in. No one to help them. And he said, there's coming a day when all men will have to answer for their action, and they will have nothing. But I have strength in my God, knowing that he is my strength and my portion, because he's the only one I've got. He's the only one I've got. Why do we do the things that we do? Because we know that there is a God. And we know that he is our only hope. And so we are desperately trying to do the best we know how to honor and glorify him in this life. Because as Apha said, who have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh, they fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Father, we thank you that you are our hope and our portion forever. Lord, we trust you and we put our hope in you. And we are willing to suffer the ridicule and the persecution. We're willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, that you might get glory. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. He's still doing good upon the earth. He's still revealing his son Jesus to those that don't know him. He's still going around speaking life to people's hearts who are oppressed and who are troubled. He's still healing and delivering. He's still bringing health to people's bodies. He's still doing good. Yes, there's bad in the world, but God is still good, and he hasn't stopped. He hasn't stopped, and you're not going to hear that on the news. He is our heart and our portion. Praise you, Lord. All right. So we are actually going to... I need my water. We're going to be... We are going to continue with our study. If you want to turn over to Matthew 12, we're going to pick up from there. Matthew 12, we're down towards the bottom. Matthew 12, around 33. That's where we're going to start. So here we are, Matthew. Jesus has been out ministering. He's been doing miracles and doing all kinds of good, showing forth the goodness of God. And he was healing people. And just before this, the Pharisees were saying, oh, he's doing this by the hand of Beelzebub. And so then Jesus started talking about the unforgivable sin, which is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, to speak evil of what God is doing. And he's going through this, so keeping that in context of what he's talking about that. Come to verse 33. He says, make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, remember I told you he's talking to the Pharisees and talking to the people that are there. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, every idle word men may speak will be given account of it in the day of judgment. For your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. So Jesus, being the expressed image of God, knowing God, and speaking those things that God says. He's speaking here and he says, make either the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad, make the fruit bad. Still kind of, I'm like, God, he's saying either make your tree good or bad. I'm thinking he has a preference, but he doesn't indicate it right here. He also makes another statement like this in Revelations after he's risen, glorified, and he's speaking to the church of Laodicea. And he says, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. He says, I can't stand you. He says, pick a side. Pick a side. Stand somewhere. You know, you'll figure out whether you're on the right side soon enough if you pick a side. You just stand in the middle, you know, trying to gauge how it's going to go so you can be on the winning side. Just pick one. And then if you find out you're wrong, switch sides. But he says, make either the tree good or make it evil. And what he's talking, and then he goes on to say, out of the heart. He's comparing the tree with the heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do we make a tree good or bad? How do we make a tree good or bad? You know, it's what makes a tree good or bad? What kind of soil it's sitting in can make a tree good or bad. You know, how much rain it gets can make a tree good or bad. You know, I've been to apple orchards. Actually, there's one north of here that's really good. I'm not going to tell you their name, but I was always impressed by, well, partially because they went overboard during the whole COVID thing, so I'm not going to support them for that. But their trees are always well taken care of. It's beautiful. You walk in there. I mean, I've been to some where, you know, they just kind of let everything overgrow. But they didn't do that. They trimmed the trees, and they were really nice looking. They look like trees. I've been to, what is it, the one in, don't say that name. I've been to ones where all the trees are like this, you know, where they all bowed down because of the way they grow it, and they chop the top off the tree because they don't want it to get any higher. They didn't do that. These trees were really nice, and they always had really good apples. Still have good apples, I'm sure. Maybe I'll forgive them in a year or so. We'll see. But, you know, just beautiful. They take care of it. They tend it. That you can tell that they care for their trees. That they're taken care of. That they're, you know, there's a lot of hands-on. This. Now, I've grown apple trees. They're dead now. I had, I think I put two in, and then they weren't compatible for pollinating one another, so I had to put a third one in. And I have never gotten edible apples off of these trees. Ever. Well, once. It was pretty sour. But I just, you know, I just didn't do very well taking care of these trees. You know, I put the tree in and I said, grow. And, you know, a couple of years, I put some fertilizer on it. They did pretty good that year. But I didn't tend them. I didn't take care of it continually. And because I didn't, they were anemic. They didn't have much. They weren't very healthy. You know, if you don't have the right kind of soil, if the soil's, you know, too porous and it doesn't hold any moisture, there's no nutrition in it. If you don't get enough water, if you live in a desert, you're not going to be growing apple trees. It's just, unless you're going to water them. How much sun it gets. You know, if you plant a tree in your garage, it's not going to grow. It just, you know, it's probably going to die because there's no sun. How much fertilizer? What kind of fertilizer? You can put the wrong kind of fertilizer on a tree and not help it to grow. I'm not much of a gardener, so, you know, those of you that are gardeners and are into this kind of thing, you're probably thinking of all the different variations. Great. You're not going to get that from me. has it been exposed to an herbicide? An herbicide kills plants. Has it been exposed to one? If it's been exposed to one, it'll kill it off. Or it may just make it sick, make it anemic. And then its fruit won't produce much. Has it been damaged? My trees are dead because it was damaged. It was damaged by mice. One winter, they ate the entire bark around the bottom of the tree. They ringed them. And they sort of lasted another year, and then that was it. They were done. They're totally dead now. You know, have they been damaged? You know, has it been struck by lightning? You know, branches can get really too heavy and they can break because of the weight of things, and it's damaged and it's not going to produce very well. Has it been attacked by pests or disease? All of these things can damage a tree and make it bad. And there's things that can be done to make it good. And like I was telling you, when a tree is not well taken care of, it can die. You know, he's illustrating, he's saying, taking care of trees and tending trees is like tending to your heart. There's a similarity. He says, you need to take care of it. You need to deal with it. Because as a tree produces fruit, whether it's good or bad, a good tree will produce good fruit. A so-so tree will produce so-so fruit. A sick tree will produce nasty fruit or no fruit at all. And so that's the way our hearts are. What's in our hearts? How are our hearts? Are they good or are they bad? But there's an illustration. Jesus says, make it either good or bad, which means we have a choice. We have a choice as to how our hearts are. What are we going to do about that? Because it says that out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. Our heart is the tree. What we speak is the fruit. If we don't like the fruit that's coming, we've got a heart issue. We've got a heart that needs to be tended to. Out of our hearts comes good and bad things. Matthew 15:8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And here's an illustration of people who are saying the right things, but their heart isn't right. So we can say things that aren't really coming out of our heart. We're just saying things to, you know, make ourselves look good. False fruit. Fake things. You know what happened when Jesus found false fruit? Jesus said he's going, they're walking along and he sees a tree off in the distance with leaves on. And he says, it must be have fruit on it. And he goes over, there's no fruit on it. What did he do? He cursed it. It dried up from the roots. Because it was pretending to have fruit, but it didn't. But there's times when we can say things that we don't really mean. Matthew 15, verse 18 and 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of our heart comes good and bad. Even though we say things, we may not mean them, but those things that are in our heart will come out. Whatever is in our heart will come out. How many people just had a sense of panic rush over them? You know, if we think about what's really in our hearts, I know what's in my heart. There's some of that stuff I never want to see come out. It means I have to tend my heart. It means I gotta deal with the tree. I gotta deal with what's in me needs to be dealt with so that it's not in there to come out. Because what's in our heart will eventually come out. You know, the thing, it says that... I haven't said that yet. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. When we speak what is truly on our heart, there is real power to do good and heal, or to do evil and destroy. Did you know that? We'll keep that for later. But there is power in what we say. So what comes out of us, what derives from our hearts, comes out of our mouth, there is power in that. So we need to be careful with our hearts. We need to be careful with what's coming out of it, and make sure that we're tending it. To keep our Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. That's what we're talking about, out of our heart. The things that we say, where we go, what we do, stems from who we are in our heart. Do I have that in here? It says that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Where our heart is where we put our treasure. And where our treasure is where we have our heart. What we treasure, what we prize above all other things, is where our heart is. It's what's important to us. Our hearts are like gardens. It's more than one plant. It's more than just one thing in us. You know, we're not one thing. We're many things. There's many things that are in us. Some are good, some are bad, and we need to cultivate the good while choking off the bad. I'm at the right spot. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And we're going to go over to Luke 8. And we're going to look at the parable of the sower, because I think there's an illustration here of our hearts, and our hearts being the fertile ground that Jesus is talking about in the parable of the sower. And there's a correlation between tending the tree so that we have good fruit, and being the good ground and having the word planted in us. So in Luke 8, verse 11, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of your heart, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who heard, receive the word with joy, and these, having no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns, those who have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So Jesus is illustrating some situations here. The word, I mean, he's speaking about salvation, but it applies to any truth that God speaks. Any truth that God speaks is planted in our hearts. Our hearts being the soil. And he said, a word comes, it's spoken, the word of God comes, it's spoken to you, you hear it. And immediately the devil comes along and says, that's stupid. And steals it. Or that's wrong, or that's not God, or whatever lie he chooses to use for that situation. And it says that it's taken away because they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. There's a time when God speaks and we don't understand it. And we will lose that word if we don't hold on to it, if we don't protect it. Because the devil will immediately come. He doesn't want the word of God to produce fruit. He doesn't want the word of God to have its way in this world. He wants to kill it. Every word of God, any word of God, the devil wants to destroy it, dilute it, or cause it to have no effect whatsoever. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, you can be assured that the devil is going to try to stop you from hearing that, receiving it into your heart, and causing it to grow. And then there's ones that are planted. The seed comes and it's planted on the ground, the rocky ground. The rocky ground. And it says it's received with joy. Yes! Woo, God! That is amazing! Yes! And then, you know, Friday comes around. Hey, come on, man. Let's go out to the bar. Okay. You know, let's go have fun. Let's party. Absolutely. Well, didn't you go to church on Sunday? Why are you going? You know, this is fun. It says that because they had no root, because they had no substance, because there was nothing, no character in them to grab onto that. They had no way of just saying, you know what? That's a bad idea. I'm going to discipline myself and not do that. Because they just kind of go wherever and do whatever they want. They fly this direction and that direction and just enjoy. And they have no root in themselves. They have no substance to grab onto that seed and let it grow. And then you have the seed that's planted on the ground that has all the vines and the thistles. And it says they're the cares of the world. So the seed drops in there. It's good ground. I mean, all you got to do is look at the thistles and thorns. This is like it's going like crazy. It's good ground. But it gets in there and it gets a little bit of ground and starts growing, but everything is so overshadowing it. And it says that's the cares of life. That's the pleasures of this life. It's the things of this world that we think are important. They're not as important as we think. You know, it's just like you can cultivate something. You think, oh, that's such a pretty flower. But then you find out it's not a flower. It's a weed. Dandelions are pretty, but they'll take over your lawn. You know, we've got these thistles that grow in our yard. You know, and the flower comes up, and it's a pretty flower. Except for now I associate that flower with evil because I know what it is. And it's this thistle and that thing. It is impossible to kill this thing. You got to use like the strongest herbicide you can find and put it right on the plant to kill it. And don't let it touch anything else around because it'll kill everything else as well. And there's things in life that we think are so important. Riches. It says that Jesus said it's impossible for a rich man to enter heaven. It's like that thistle. The only way to kill it is totally rip it out. That's why Jesus said to the rich man, give away all of your stuff. You need a new perspective on life. Burn it to the ground, baby. Burn it down. There are things in our lives that we need to do that to. There's some things that God made me do in my life. I had to burn it to the ground. Absolutely just obliterate it. And anything that was associated with it, I had to get rid of it. For me, that one of those things was music. When I was in my 20s, I was in the military. God told me to get rid of all of my music, all my secular music. I had a pretty good collection of CDs at that point. I had to get rid of them, all of them. I had to stop listening to the radio. It was something that had a hold in my life, and I had to let it go. I had to burn it to the ground. Otherwise, I wasn't going to grow. I wasn't going to grow right. The Word of God would keep getting choked off by these weeds in my life that I thought were so important. And it says that it falls on some good ground, those with a noble heart. A noble and good heart. That's what we're looking for. We want to have the noble and good heart. We want to have that faithful heart for God, so that when the word comes, it has the ability to land on good ground and grow and produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Our hearts are these gardens that have all kinds of stuff in them. Things that God's planted there, things that the devil has planted there, things that the world has instilled in us, things that have crept over from other gardens. And we need to take a look at our garden, what we have in it, and decide, you know, what we want to keep and what we want to get rid of, so that we can have a good heart and not an evil one. Because we want our gardens to be full of life and full of things to offer people. Because you ever been around somebody that's real prickly? And you're just like, ew, you know, I love you, but I'd rather love you over there. You over there, me over there. They're just prickly. They're not nice to be around. There's always, you always feel like life is being sucked out of you. They have a bad garden. It's full of weeds and it's full of thistles and thorns. You keep getting poked and they keep stealing all of your good stuff. There's nothing left. But there's people you like being around. He's like, I just like being around them. I always feel, you know, it's like taking a breath of fresh air. It's like being in a really good garden with all these beautiful flowers and fruits and vegetables, and you smell it, and it just makes you feel good. That's a good garden. What are our gardens like? Do people like coming and taking a look at our garden and seeing what we have, partaking of the things that we have, or are we all thorns and thistles? Where everybody is like, yeah, okay. Thanks, but no thanks. And it's about what's in us. It's about what's in our hearts. What are we putting into the garden? What are we cultivating in our garden? I'm gonna stop here. And I think I'm going to be talking some more on this. Because there's more here. I can tell that there's more here, but I know it's going to be a lot more, and I'm not ready to talk about it. But think about your gardens. Think about what you're putting in your heart. Think about what you're consuming. Because who you're hanging out with, all of these things have an effect on your garden. Your heart. And when you affect your garden, you affect the produce of the garden, whether good or evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would build upon this word. I ask that you would give me more insight to help your people grow. I pray that they would be open to hear what it is that you have to say, that their hearts would be good and be noble and ready to hear your word, that they would cultivate their hearts and be ready to receive what it is that you have to say. We just give you honor and glory today, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.